All right, the meeting is now on record.
Great. Okay, so welcome everybody to commissioners and staff and public alike. I'm Scott Greenberg. I am the vice chair of the Planning Commission. Our chair, Gary Tao, was unable to make it tonight, so I get the lucky job of running the meeting tonight. So we do have an agenda. It is 7:05, so we're calling the meeting to order. And the first order of first item on our agenda is the roll call. Mike, if you could do that, please.
All right. So, Commissioner Greenberg?
Here.
Commissioner Blanco?
Here.
Commissioner Bush?
Here.
Commissioner Moe?
Present.
And I have note here that Commissioner Bovers and Commissioner, Commissioner Torgerson are not present tonight. Commissioner Torgerson has specifically recused herself as she has property, she owns property within the area that are subject to the amendment. So to avoid a potential conflict, she's recused herself from this discussion.
And as I said, Commissioner Tao is unable to also.
Oh, thank you, yes.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next item. So the next item is opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. So if you're attending tonight to speak on the rezone item and the municipal code item related to medium density residential, please save your comments for the public hearing, which we'll get to shortly. If there is anything else you would like to speak about, give us your name and address, and you would have 3 minutes to speak. Anybody?
For the hearing or for the public comment?
For the public comment on anything that is not on tonight's agenda.
Okay, and that's not me.
Okay. All right, going once. All right, hearing none. We will move to, I'm flipping back and forth between Teams and the agenda. Approval of the agenda, or is there a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
Commissioner Blanco makes a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Is there a second?
This is Commissioner Bush, a second.
Okay, all in favor, or any changes to tonight's agenda? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? I said aye also. So passes unanimously. All right. Next is approval of minutes of our October 22nd meeting. Is there a motion to approve the October 22nd minutes?
This is Commissioner Bush. I make a motion to approve the October 22nd minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second, Commissioner
Moe. Great. I do have a question. On line 44, there's something, it says that the tenure report should be included in the proposed code amendments. Can you refresh my memory? I don't know if the word tenure is a typo, or I don't remember anything being a tenure report.
I think that's probably referring to home ownership requirements.
Okay.
So that was something that changed the language on that to just refer to owner occupancy.
Okay. Yeah, I think just clarify that.
Yeah.
Would be great. Okay. Any other comments or changes to the minutes?
On line, Commissioner Blanco, on line 57, do you normally change that to November 12th, which would be this meeting, instead of October 8th?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, any other amendments? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, motion passes unanimously. All right, we are now on to the only kind of substantive agenda item. This is an amendments to the North Bend zoning map and North Bend Municipal Code Title 18, which is the zoning code, to establish a new medium density residential zone. And just for members of the public, the protocol here is we're going to ask Mike McCarty, city staff, for a presentation on this. And then I will open the public hearing. And then when I open the hearing, I'll provide sort of the ground rules of the hearing just so we're all on the same page. So Mike, if you can get started. Oh, and then after the public hearing, we'll close the public hearing. And then the commissioners have an opportunity to discuss among ourselves what we've heard during the hearing, plus the proposal, and deliberate and potentially make a recommendation. Just to be real clear about it, the Planning Commission does not make a decision on this item. Our action, when we take it, will be to recommend a course of action to the City Council. The City Council will actually take the action. So, Mike, if you can give us your presentation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Greenberg. So my name is Mike McCarty, and I'm a senior planner with the city. And want to just start out with an introduction to what we're doing, or what we're proposing to do, and why we're doing that, and what the amendments will entail. So let me share my screen, and I'll just go to the very brief PowerPoint presentation that'll take us through some of that. All right, you all see my screen?
I see your screen.
Excellent.
That's good.
Okay. All right. So that is an image of the idea of the medium density residential housing type. So that's within Redmond, but that gives an example of what the intent is here. To have neighborhoods that look like single family neighborhoods that accommodate more units than just exclusive single family homes. So why are we doing this? So the essence comes down to affordability and choice. So I think as we're all aware, housing prices just keep going up and up and up, and COVID doesn't seem to have slowed that down in the Puget Sound area at all. So that's very much the case for North Bend, and many people that live and work here cannot afford to live here. So that's teachers, that's firefighters, that's people that live in that work in our retail establishment. And the big thing is it's our children. So there's a picture of outside graduating class, obviously not in 2020, but we've got a lot of kids that are growing up in this valley. And my hope for my kids, and I think the hope for a lot of people that live here, is that we'd like our kids to also be able to move back and live in North Bend who grew up here. That is not going to be possible unless we find some alternatives that are more affordable, just because the prices of housing just keep going up and up. So if you look at that zoning map there, that's obviously not very detailed. That's a pretty small scale. But what I want you to see is the yellow. The yellow represents our low density residential zone. And that represents 94% of the area that's zoned for residential within the city of North Bend. It's exclusively single family residential. So what that means in North Bend is based on our lot sizes and our bulk and dimensional standards and our density, you can do up to 4 units per acre. Typically, it winds up being about 3.5, which then results in some large homes, typically about 2,500, 3,500 square feet, which cost in the range of $800,000 to $1 million on today's market. That's expensive. So in addition to that price, the size of the home doesn't necessarily reflect the market need. So we've got an increasing need for housing for smaller households of individuals, couples without children, one-child families, retirees, et cetera, as well as those college graduates that grew up here that are hopefully moving back and establishing themselves in our community. So there's a need for that market. And we don't have that in North Bend right now. So again, 97% of the city is exclusively single family residential. So to help address this issue, we've applied for and received a grant from the Department of Commerce to improve opportunities for the development of more affordable housing alternatives to conventional single family residential. And with that is our proposed medium density residential zone. Down. So to understand medium density residential, some of you may be familiar with the idea of the missing middle. It's become kind of a buzzword in the news as this is a national issue. So housing affordability isn't just a Puget Sound issue, it's national. And there's a very distinct division between conventional single family and conventional multifamily housing that emerged since about the 1950s. So in the 50s, it was the post-war housing boom, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon of subdivision. It was a quick, easy solution to all the people coming home. And at the time, it was affordable, so it was easy to do. But it's become a paradigm, and there's not many alternatives to it on the housing market anymore. There used to be a lot of alternatives. This used to be the traditional neighborhood pattern. And so we'll look at a few of those in North Bend. And I want to also look at the Missing Middle website to give you an idea of what this is and what it is that we're trying to do with this. So Opticos is an urban design firm, and they coined the term the missing middle. And they've got an excellent website that describes what this is and what these housing types are. So let me go into that website to show you what this is, what this looks like. So you see this first image? This is a classic missing middle. On the left end there, you see conventional single family. That's our subdivisions throughout North Bend. On the far right end, and actually I would put the line more about here for North Bend context, is conventional multifamily. And we've got a lot of multifamily in North Bend as well. We've got the Arrive apartments that used to be Rock Creek Ridge. We've got the John Day Orchard Place apartments, and then a few others that are proposed. But that's a different market than what a lot of people are looking for. So people that have lived in multifamily are looking to step up in the market and make their first purchase. That step right now from the apartment up into that $1 million home is a big step. So I want to show what some of these housing types look like. And the Missing Middle is website has really identified that well. So what we're talking about is some duplexes. Duplexes don't have to look like your classic duplex image of a mirror image of itself. They can look like a singular home, and that's our intent here. There we go. So this just gives you an idea of what some historic duplex patterns looked like. So you can see some of these look like a conventional single-family home, but it's got more than one unit in it. Another nice example there. And that's the intention here as well, that these duplexes fit within the context of conventional single family, and they can be built side by side with conventional single family. A few other typologies. So just another example, duplexes don't have to be side by side, they can be stacked. And we do have a few examples of those within North Bend. So again, because of the opportunities for design when you stack a duplex, they can look like a single family home. That one looks like a mansion. A few other things. Small cottage court apartments. So this was a typology that was very common pre-war, where you would have a small courtyard surrounded by one story or one and a half story apartments. And that limited height is what's key to making it feel less dense and compatible with adjacent development. So again, you can see some examples of these. They're common in Seattle in older neighborhoods. They don't happen so often anymore, but we'd like to see that happen in the market again. And it is beginning to happen. A few other types. Townhouses. What's key here, I think, for the context of North Bend and this missing middle, is limiting the building size and limiting the number of units. So if you get a row of about four, that's still within kind of the context of comfortable adjacent to single family. When you get bigger than that, and when you get units that are bigger than that, it starts to feel urban. It starts to feel like downtown Redmond or Bellevue. And that's not what we're looking for here. But within the smaller context, and you can see some of these in Snoqualmie, and there's a few in Issaquah, it can fit. Like there's a single family home within that context. And then finally, live work. So this is an emerging type that's really becoming popular in the market, especially during COVID, where it's an opportunity for you to own the space that you work in, yet still have a separate entrance from the outside. So there's a few of these in Snoqualmie. There's quite a few of them in Issaquah. And with COVID, this is likely to become a pretty hot new housing type. And we'd like to accommodate that, again, because it's compatible with the scale of a single family neighborhood. Let me go back out and look at a few of the things that make Missing Middle work as a neighborhood. Let me about an assembly. So this image really shows it well. And what you see here is that the units are fronting to the street and there's not a lot of parking visible from the street. So that gives the feel of a nice grassy front yard. You can put some street trees out there and it feels soft and welcoming. The parking is located to the rear in alleys and in shared parking to the back. And that helps you to maintain that neighborhood feel. And it also helps the different housing types to work together well. You'll also see a mix here. I think what's important and what we've proposed in our standards is that mix, that you can't just do all townhomes or all cottages, especially when you're looking at larger parcels. Say you've got 15 acres or something. We don't want to see 150 cottages. So we'd like to see that mix to provide more of that historic urban form. The other thing that's important is design. The design of the units is really key. Having that front porch, having articulation on the front, that's what makes it work. So let me back out of this to show you a few examples from North Bend. Within our downtown commercial zone, we have an emerging missing middle housing block. This is between 2nd and 3rd Street. And we've got a lot of these housing types that are developing. So these, the two first buildings that you see on the left and the center are both duplexes, but they are designed to look like a single family home. And so it's kind of indistinguishable from the street. Other examples, these are just throughout different areas of North Bend. There's a stacked duplex in the center there, one unit on top of the other. The one on Main Avenue there, that's in within one of the neighborhoods that's being considered, that's currently low density residential, will be being considered for medium density residential. That was built as a multiplex. We had the city, unfortunately, a few years ago had to tell them, no, it has to be a single family home because of the zone that it's in. But it shows the idea of what we're trying to get at. And then here is kind of the larger end of that. This is I don't actually know the number of units, but it's a multiplex apartment that looks like a single family home. So from the front, again, it's indistinguishable from a single family home. But if you go around the side, you'll see that there's multiple units here. So it fits within the character. Small townhomes on Park Street as an example. And the key word again is small. So this fits on a typical single family residential lot. And there's just two units here. This isn't a huge row of townhomes in an urban context. And then cottages. So this is the 2nd Street cottages. And the proposal is to continue to allow cottages in this conversion of the cottage zone into a medium density residential zone. We do have a few examples of those one-story apartments. The courtyard apartment, the classic form that we showed on the Missing Middle website, is what you see on Main Street, although that one's kind of an odd duck. It's kind of a 1960s version of that that looks more like a dentist office, I think, than a housing development. But it is the typology, and you can see it's unobtrusive. They're low in form, and they feel comfortable. They don't feel like they're imposing on the street or overly dense. So design is really key to this. And I'm showing these examples because here the land use pattern was good, but the design didn't work so well. And that's why we feel that the standards that we have, which link to our residential design standards, are really key. So these examples, you can see that they've got the form, that these are just 4 units per building, which could be good, but they kind of missed the boat on the parking. So the parking is really dominant there. It's right out front. It takes up the entire front yard, and you see some dumpsters that are stored out front because there's nowhere else for them. And so it really loses that feel of the diversity, and it just feels like an apartment complex. So design is key. So that's what we've done with our proposed standards, and it provided a focus on that design. So what we're doing is we're taking our 1811, which is our cottage residential zone currently, transforming that into a medium density residential zone. It will allow for these other housing types that I've shown. And what the essence of the requirements are is that we're limiting the size of the buildings and limiting the size of the units in the building to ensure that we have consistency with that single family home feel. The buildings don't become huge, they still feel like a larger single family home. We're proposing the same density as the existing cottage residential zone, which is 10 units per acre, but then less in some of these other areas that we're considering for the low density residential areas to convert potentially to the medium density residential zone. That's a really nice example there. That's Woodbridge in Redmond. That's 15 units per acre net density. But if you look at that, it looks like just a normal neighborhood. And that's the key to design. So having that parking in the back, having the porches, the front yard that looks like green space, it makes it feel very comfortable. So the other, all the areas that we wanted to consider, let me go over this a little bit. If you look at the orange, that's our existing cottage residential zone. And that's the key to what we're transforming to the medium density residential. Again, the orange would stay at the same density. There's three additional areas that we have considered. And this is not a plan, this is a consideration. And that's why we wanted to hear from the public tonight. Three different areas, and I'll go into each of those a little bit more about why they were considered, and then we certainly want to hear from you about that. So the first area is just east of the North Bend roundabout, North Bend Cedar Falls Way roundabout, and that's an area that currently bridges between downtown and our existing cottage residential zone. So there's some higher intensity uses already within that area. There's a school, a Montessori school, and there is I don't exactly know what the business is, a street sweeping business. That bookend that. And in between, there's a lot of underdeveloped properties. So in this case, there is the potential for redevelopment or subdivision to create a medium density residential neighborhood. We have heard from others previously, property owners within this zone, that they are interested to see other higher intensity uses. So there were previous dockets that were considered to transform this into our high density residential zone or our commercial zone, our downtown commercial zone. And we've seen written comment to that effect for your hearing tonight. And I think we'll probably hear from folks about that as well. Our second area of consideration that's currently zoned low density residential is just north of our downtown. On the south end there, that's the Simplon Valley Trail. And the reason that this area was considered is it really reflects, it was a part of the original North Bend plat. And in terms of the lot size and the feel of the neighborhood, it's identical to the rest of the downtown. So this is an established neighborhood. So it's not likely to see any kind of significant change or further subdivision of land. And we're looking at just an infill context here. So homes could be divided into duplexes, or if you've got a vacant lot, there's I think one or two vacant lots here, a duplex could be developed. Because the current proposal is just NDR 6, up to 6 units per acre, that wouldn't be a substantial difference. So if you could do one unit on a lot, you're probably only going to be able to do 2 units. So it's not kind of anything substantial. There's already, again, those existing housing types within that neighborhood, which was another reason for considering this. And then the third neighborhood, and I think we've got a lot of folks on from this neighborhood tonight, just west of our downtown, so across the street from Bartels. And this is a very beautiful historic neighborhood. And I think we've heard a lot from folks in the past from various things considered for this neighborhood. And it's a very strong neighborhood that is really concerned with the character. The reason that this neighborhood was selected was specifically because this could be an opportunity to bring in additional, more affordable housing types while preserving that character. So there's not a lot of redevelopment potential here. Again, a lot of this property is in floodway or within critical areas, wetlands. And so there's not much opportunity for larger redevelopment. But again, this was considered as potentially an infill context. There's one vacant lot up closer just across the street from Bartels. So for example, instead of doing one home on that, you could do a duplex. Or maybe if you could divide that into two, you could get 3 units out of it. But it's at the six units per acre level, it wouldn't be a substantial difference. But we do want to hear from folks on these things tonight. So that's why I'll wrap up my presentation. We want to hear from you two key things. So of the areas that we've considered for that medium density residential zone, are there areas that we certainly should include, that we certainly should not include? And then the second part of that is the context or the content that we have of the standards about the diversity, about the housing types. What comments do you have for us on those? So with that, let me end my presentation here. Stop sharing my screen. And I'll turn it back to Chair Greenberg to open the public hearing.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, if it's okay, I'd like to save any questions you have till after the hearing. Does that work for everybody? Okay. We had an opportunity at our last meeting to ask questions. So, okay, let me get my guidelines up here. So because this isn't like a traditional public hearing where you can stand up and get in line at the podium or something like that, bear with me as we kind of move our way through this. Everybody who would like to have a chance to speak will have a chance to speak. I'm just simply going to go in order of the names I see on my screen. I don't have everybody's last name. In the past, we've done it alphabetically, but some people don't have names. They just have phone numbers. So what I'll do is I'll call the name of the person to ask you if you would like to speak. You don't have to speak. You can just decline. And then also at the same time, kind of give the person who's on deck, so give a second person some advance notice that that person would be next. Okay? You each have 3 minutes to speak. I'll try to do some timing on that and let you know when your 3 minutes are up. Many of you, I'm sure, have submitted written comments. We've gotten quite a few written comments. You don't need to read your letter into the record. Just by submitting your written comments, those comments are already in the record. If you would like to talk about your comments or embellish them or highlight some points, you're more than welcome to do that, but we don't need you to physically read the letter into the record. Okay, I think that's all I wanted to say. So the first lucky person is going to be, I just have the name Ewing and then Joe Edding. So Ewing, if you'd like to speak, go ahead. Let's see, I cannot unmute you, so you'll have to unmute yourself. If you're going to speak, please give us your name and address for the record. And once you do that, we'll start the 3 minute timer. So Ewing, you're up.
Oh, and I've sent written comments in, so I don't need to speak tonight.
Okay, great, thank you. So Joe Edding's next, and then Ward and Vicki are next. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you. And Mike, that was a very nice presentation. And I kind of get what you guys are kind of going for and the look and style.
Do you mind providing your address for the record?
Yeah. It's 43438 Southeast North End Way.
Thank you.
excuse me. You know, I'm glad to see that you guys are moving forward towards outlook of trying to produce more of a affordable housing. I've been kind of advocate this for quite a while, going to city council meetings and talking to people, and I see you guys' goals and your plans. If I could put my personal opinion on what you have right now is cottages zone. You want to do the medium density. That's good, but there still needs to be certain areas that need to be even a higher density of affordable housing. You guys are making the right steps, but there still can be one-bedroom condos, two-bedroom, one-bath condos, with a mix with the townhouses, complexes, development. You can still make those look really nice and park in the back, just like John Day's apartment buildings and stuff. But I think that what you guys really need to take a look at is still have your cottage-like look in your single-family housing on tiny little lots. That's good. But there still has to be a little bit more of a higher density of a single-family residence. I haven't seen anything or heard of anything as far as a studio condo complex, one-bedroom, one-bath, two-bedroom, one-bath, three-bedroom, two-bath, or then you go to the townhouse, a mix of a development. I think you're still missing the boat a little bit. There is enough property, and what you have zoned as cottages, I think that you can go up to 2 to 3 stories, if I'm not mistaken. But I think you guys can do a much higher density instead of doing more apartments. Because right now, if you look at the apartment rents right now, the new apartments that are out there, I mean, it's a minimum of $2,000, $2,200 a month to get into an apartment. We need to make places to where if you're paying $2,200 a month, you can actually own an actual residence. It could be a one bedroom, one bath condo, single story, I mean, one level. So I would encourage a more higher density, but more of a single family residence instead of more apartments. I've been preaching for a long time along 412th Avenue, which is right behind the Safeway complex where the hotel is going in. That whole back road down that road, all that property is still unincorporated. That needs to be annexed into the city of North Bend. That whole strip needs to be annexed in and do a high-density single-family residence, meaning condos, like I just talked about, one-bedroom, one-bath, two-bedroom, one-bath, and a mix of townhouses, three-bedroom, two-bath. That whole strip right there, you're right off the freeway, and it's great for senior citizens to come in.
Mr. Eddings, I'm sorry to interrupt. Your 3 minutes is up. Can you please wrap it up?
Okay, so my thing is, I like what you guys are doing, where you're going. I really like your designs and your little higher density, but we really need to get more of higher density single-family residences, condos. I really believe that is going to be, somebody's working at the casino, somebody's working at the restaurants, they need to afford to have a place. Cottages are still going to be very expensive. I don't care who you are.
Okay, thank you. And if you have additional comments, you can send an email to Mike and he'll get the comments to us.
Okay, or thank you.
Send in. Thank you. Next we've got Ward and Vicki, and after Ward and Vicki, I see Jesse Thompson.
Okay, good afternoon or good evening.
Evening.
My name is Ward Bettis. Address is 225 Sydney Avenue South in North Bend, on the North Bend. I sent emails in documenting why I'd like to see the parcel number 3 removed from this proposal. The reasons mainly deal with flooding and the impact of the existing flood conditions. Increased density in parcel number 3 is going to have a negative impact on flooding as well as locally as well as downstream. If you look at the photos that Mike just presented earlier, the overhead photos of parcel number 3, you'll see a lot of treed area. That particular treed area during a flood several years ago was under 5 feet of water, groundwater. You cannot control groundwater. I strongly suggest that you remove this parcel from this proposal, and I'll be glad to answer any questions about flooding at the end of the session. That's it.
Okay, thank you. So next I've got Jesse Thompson and then A. Anders Larson Tevis after that. Hello, Mr. Thompson.
Hey, good evening. This is Jesse Thompson and Melissa Jayton. We own 231 Sydney Avenue South in North Bend here, right next to Vicki and Ward. We also would like to see parcel. We also submitted written documentation, and we would also like to see the Area 3 be removed from the recommendation for medium density compared to what it is right now for multiple reasons. We agree with Ward's assessment of the flood situation, and we've seen different events happen over the years since we've been here, since we've owned this house since 2005, that I think should be really considered. And then on top of that, you know, the historic nature of the neighborhood, small streets, the lack of planning, not lack of planning, the older style of urban planning that went into this neighborhood, as well as, you know, I think it's become even more so than when we moved in, a very vibrant, you know, youthful neighborhood that really represents a lot of what North Bend has to offer, you know, with different younger families, including our own, mix of residents that are both more, you know, settled here from the Bettises and Gardners, Vintages, as well as the newer families that are here as well. And, you know, the quality of the homes that are here, and the platting of those would really make it, I think, disadvantaged to try to add into this area. Have anything else, Ben?
I think for the record also, we're not in favor of seeing this mass influx population coming to North Bend. We moved here because it was a wonderful small town 15 plus years ago, and it was quiet, and it's become more and more crowded and noisy, and the intersection at the end of our street is extremely unsafe. We have two little boys that we're constantly, you know, trying to make sure are safe. So we're not in favor of any condominiums, apartment buildings, any massive density structures to go into North Bend.
Okay, is that it?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, so next we've got A. Anders Larson Tevis, followed by Lindsay Andrews. Would A. Anders Larson Tevis like to speak? If you unmute yourself.
Hey there, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
Okay, awesome, great. Hey, my name is Anders. I'm calling in from Seattle. I currently work as a biomedical research associate. I'm a volunteer coordinator with King County Equity Now, and also volunteer with the Duwamish Solidarity Group. I grew up in this parcel of land, K through 12, and so I'm just going to read from the document I had submitted to you all. So parcel 3 is within a high-risk flood zone. Development construction is known to cause soil erosion and sedimentation per a citation from the USDA in 2000, which increases the possibility of infrastructural risk to generational residents living in this parcel during flood events. And one can observe this from the impacts that were felt in the 2006 Snoqualmie River flooding event, which I think other members of the community have alluded to, but it was quite a serious event, and I'm a bit concerned that development, housing development in particular, of larger housing constructs and complexes could contribute to this these impacts. And I think there's a high likelihood that there will also be unforeseen ecological and hydrological impacts that carry a potential to directly impact existing residents of this neighborhood. My second point is that this neighborhood has served as an intimate community for the growth of several generations of youth, myself included. I believe that the possible displacement of multi-generational families through pressure from housing developers, et cetera, and development of larger housing complexes will disrupt the supportive community that has served and continues to serve youth through the sense of place and space, the neighborhood relationships that are unique to existing neighborhood structure, which have been preserved in this parcel for generations. My third and last point is that the families that plan to reside in this neighborhood on the scale of generations, which includes my family, will most immediately face the impacts of construction, development, and displacement throughout the rezoning process. And I do believe that affordable housing is crucial in the development of housing equity for residents of North Bend. But I do also believe, in addition to that point, that the resulting displacement and community restructuring has a high potential to cause harm to the existing community and viable parcel alternatives and or an increase in access to public transportation for land plots with little to no threat of contemporary displacement are potentially more suitable as alternatives for the development of affordable housing in North Bend. And then my last point is I just want to acknowledge that this parcel of land is on the unceded traditional lands of the Snoqualmie tribe who have acted as the stewards of this land from time immemorial. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Next is Lindsay Andrews, followed by Kevin Brewster. So Lindsay, if you can unmute and if you would like to speak, give us your name and address.
Okay. Lindsay Andrews. I'm at 540 Southeast 5th Street in North Bend. And I guess I'm mostly logged in just to learn and to hear and to, just gather more information. I guess my only comment or concern would be, you know, we live pretty close to the roundabout there, and traffic going through that area does go pretty fast, and I'm wondering if there have been considerations on how to slow the traffic or make that area more walkable. It looked like a lot of the stuff that was being rezoned would not necessarily be very walkable unless the traffic is mitigated somehow or slowed down. And then the other question in general that I had is the intent of the larger sections that could be open for development. You know, it looked like anything greater than 1 acre, what was the intent to be able to make lots available for residents to purchase, or is the intent to just open it up for development and have a developer come in and sell off the smaller, more dense units? That's all I had.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. We'll have your question answered after the public hearing. I think staff can answer that question. So next we've got Kevin Brewster, followed by, sorry, I don't really have a name. It shows up as chatterhall@gmail.com. Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, hi, Kevin Brewster. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. 428 Orchard Ave here in North Bend. I really like the presentation. I particularly like the focus on sort of the character and the fit of the housing. And I think I've moved here more recently to North Bend as well, and I'm really drawn by the character and the environment and, you know, the natural beauty and, you know, kind of the cool, funky, you know, housing mix. And I really like that this proposal has elements of design in it. You know, having lived in a few places, I see how some communities sort of throw out considerations of aesthetics or fit when developers bring money. And I think one of my biggest concerns is that, you know, the council will sort of maybe roll over when developers show them the money and sort of these nice aesthetic principles go out the window and we end up with sort of slab sidings and, you know, parking and so forth. So I hope somehow that character is really inbuilt. I like the size and the density of this housing. I think it's not kind of just cramming as many people into the community as possible. I would, you know, echo some sentiments I've heard on this call where, you know, there's definitely a concern that, you know, that the place becomes crowded and so forth. I think it's nice to see this balance given to this. And I think that, you know, with a fair amount of this type of housing, you know, we can balance the need for affordable housing, but not sell out our neighborhoods to developers who want to cram in, you know, 1,000 apartment complexes or, you know, as many condos as will fit. I think it's really important to not go past that point of no return. Like North Bend isn't going to be North Bend forever. And so I like if we, you know, sell it out and throw aesthetics out the window and throw density out the window. So I like to see that focus is that, you know, that's being considered and how important it is and the character And I really like some of those styles in that presentation. I love those kind of cottage courts. I come from Southern California. I love that old LA kind of, you know, Melrose Place, probably dating myself there, style. So I appreciate it. I hope that that character and concept carries through with weight and doesn't just allow, you know, for the designation of zoning and then that gets thrown out and we just end up with big blocks that fit the whole thing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So next is chatterhall@gmail.com, followed by Gardner Vinage. Sorry if I'm butchering people's names. So Chatterhall, if there you go. I see you're unmuted. Give us your name and address, please.
I'm just here to listen.
Okay. All right. You don't have to give us your name and address then. Thank you very much. So Gardner, you're up next, followed by, sorry, I have to scroll, Keith Stringfellow.
Okay. This is Gardner Vinage. I live at 205 Taylor Avenue South in the Taylor Park neighborhood, which is your Area 3. And I have sent in a statement that lays out a lot of details of my position, and I won't repeat those. I read the packet presentation, and the discussion of Area 2 to some degree, but certainly Area 3, just almost seemed, it's puzzlingly self-defeating. The discussion of Neighborhood 3, the city acknowledges the limits to the development of the wooded areas and the low areas in our neighborhood, which is great. And the packet also indicates that, in fact, there's one empty parcel in this neighborhood. We all know where it is. It's incredibly conspicuous there on Bendigo Boulevard. And the packet notes that that property can now be developed into two units, but that if this overlay were, this upzone were adopted, it could become three. And the packet also acknowledges that there is very little likelihood that any other movement would occur in the neighborhood. And I think some of the letters you've received from the neighborhood indicate that too. So that it seems to me that the bottom line certainly on our area, is that you want to upzone the whole area for the benefit of one single additional unit, which really doesn't seem like a solution to a density problem. But it does impose a higher tax level on everyone who already lives here. So it seems to me that the cost of the neighborhood versus the benefit to the city seems very small, and this is all laid out in the packet. So it's a little mystifying to me. The third thing I want to say is that another thing that's mentioned in your background work is that this neighborhood has been chosen for this change because of its proximity to downtown. And I would just like to note that having gone to some of the business outreach meetings and other things, it seems that the drift of many of the significant businesses in downtown is in fact to move them east, that perhaps QFC is looking for a bigger place east of town, the main grocery store for this area, and that other businesses are going east. So what you're going to get proximity to is these very small shops, which is a commercial neighborhood of small homes, just like this is a residential neighborhood of small homes. The big developments, the big housing units, and the big businesses, the big stores are all moving east, and this neighborhood does not have proximity to those. Fourth, you will have noted in the comments of some of our statements, we are in this neighborhood absolutely freaked out about flooding. We are among the lowest areas in North Bend. Floodwaters find their way into our neighborhoods. They flood the areas and so on. And if there's no immediate hope for expansion, just the one unit, it seems to me that the purpose of laying the whole neighborhood under this zoning is that the city hopes that over time the neighborhood will be busted up and more lots will be turned in that direction. And I think many of our comments about flooding are based on the fact that I'm just afraid somebody is looking at a two-dimensional map and thinks that this whole area of town could just be filled up with spaces for hundreds of people. And we just want to point out that from our experience of many, many years, that is not possible. And the last thing that I wanted to say.
Yeah, so, if you're over your time, so if you could quickly wrap up, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop there and refer you to my statement.
Okay, yeah, we all got that, and hopefully we've all had a chance to read that. Thank you very much. So next is going to be Keith Stringfellow, followed by Liz Davis.
Yes, hello, this is Keith, and I currently reside in Julian, California, which is in San Diego County. I grew up in North Bend. My family and I own property, and one of those is a vacant lot in the plot number 3 referred to on your map tonight. So just a couple quick comments. First of all, Mr. McCarty, I appreciate your presentation. Thank you. And as is what's already been stated tonight, I agree that the style, the architectural character of the proposed building designs, I think, is fitting for the North Bend community. As I said, I grew up in North Bend from 1969 until graduating from Mount Si High School in 1988. And North Bend was always a very small rural community to me and my family. And I know many people have moved to North Bend and appreciating that aspect of the town. And some of the farmers want to see that maintained as much as possible, but I know that growth and change is inevitable. The architectural style, I think, is very fitting. I appreciate the fact that you're trying to appeal to more of an affordable housing market. My concern is what houses have been built. I come back to visit in the area a couple times each year, constantly seeing growth and just been shocked that fairly small single family homes are $700 to $1 million on a very small piece of property at housing units per acre. And I'm just wondering how can we control these new structures actually being affordable? Is it just going to be that whatever the market determines, or will the city put some parameters on the sale of such developments so that it truly is affordable housing? I think the market has just blown out of proportion over the years. And, you know, I'm all for providing affordable housing to those who need it, but I don't know how that can be done without some parameters. So I'm just wondering if there's
any... I do have a response for that, and I'll come back to that after the public hearing, but that's a very important question that relates to the specific provisions that we have in the standard. So I'll come back to that after the hearing.
All right. Thank you. And then my second concern, I guess, with growth is the added pressure on the schools and the roadways in the town. I probably know very little compared to everybody else on this call, but it just seems like every time I hear about the schools, they're busting at the seams. And what is that going to do to North Bend Elementary, the middle school, and of course the high school? So that's my concern with the growth. So thank you very much.
Thank you. So Liz Davis is next, followed by Mark Saffel. Liz, you're up.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Davis, address 225 Taylor Avenue South, and I live across the street from Keith Stringfellow's lot. Hi, Keith. The all of you have a letter from me. I'm not sure that I articulated enough, so I'm going to bring up a couple of additional points. I think Keith made a very good point about affordability. I am in real estate. I sell real estate actively in this town. And I know the last time you built cottages, you thought they were going to be affordable. I think one was, and then they went outside the affordability range for the rest of them. I live in the neighborhood where the street coming in, we're on a dead end street. The street coming in can hold, can two cars can pass, but the street that I live on, there's no way two cars can pass. And I just don't see any sense, any way of making any housing affordable when you have to change the infrastructure big time. And I mean big time. So that's one. And then the other one, I'm going to echo on Guard Vintage's comments about why are we changing the zoning for the whole parcel three for one house. When in your previous meeting, somebody, one of your commissioners brought up the increase in taxes, and that does not seem, that makes it unaffordable for the rest of us that live here already if you're going to increase our taxes with no conceivable benefit to us. And I think that's all I really wanted to say. I have my notes here, and I think my letters say it very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So next is Mark Saffel, followed by Torsten North.
We were just listening in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. Torsten, you're up, followed by Sandra Larson-Tevis.
Yeah, this is Torsten North and Camilla Kirchilova. We live at 249 Taylor Avenue South, and we also are in Parcel 3. I'm sure a few of you in the planning committee recognize our names. We are the most current in doing any sort of development in this neighborhood. So we can definitely speak for the cost of developing in the flood zone. We are in an AO1 in our particular lot. So to do the development we wanted to do, we had to bring it up to current standards, which costs quite a bit just to do that. So we are definitely against the Area 3. Camilla, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, for sure. Hi, this is Camilla. So other things I want to point out, and some of them were mentioned by Vicki and Ward, Melissa, Jesse, Andrew, and Gardner, the concern with the flood, right, and the underground water coming up during the heavy storm. So it's not just the river coming over the levee, but it's also water coming from underground up. So if you want to build more buildings on here, how are you going to deal with that and how much it's going to cost, right? And then the other thing was the access. Our roads are super small. You would have to widen the roads, change character of our neighborhood. Very interesting and important point that Gardner brought up about one lot really being impacted by this, because even if you look at the map and you see all that open space, it's a really a green belt around the river. So why do you want to make this change for one unit? I hope somebody can answer that question when we get to the Q&A session later. And let me see what else was I wanting to bring up. I'm looking at my notes here. Oh yeah, the city streets. So with more people moving to this area, we are seeing a lot of congestion, especially as you are getting from I-90 to area where we live. So even if you're considering more housing across the North Bend, I wanted to see what's the city's plan to address that. Because a lot of times during the rush hours, we are pretty much sitting in traffic just getting to our house.
Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you for your time and writing us and participating. So next we've got Sandra Larson-Tevis, followed by Tammy.
Hello, this is Jesse and Melissa. We were just texted by Sandra. Apparently her microphone is not working. She wanted to relay that she did submit a letter.
Okay.
And she's listening in.
And that she's listening in.
Okay, thank you, Sandra. Sorry about your mic. If that gets fixed before the end of the public hearing, just let us know and we'll get you back in. Okay, so Tammy, you're up next, followed by Tanya Jennings.
Great, thank you. I'm trying to turn my camera on, but it's not coming on. Anyhow, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great, thank you. So my house is actually on the slides, 521 Main Avenue North. I have more questions than anything because this is all news to me. So maybe there are just a couple questions I can pose that can be answered later. But I do wonder what this would do to my property value, in particular if the house is then zoned multifamily versus single family. So the value and the taxes, I'm wondering about those things. I had something else, but now I do not recall. So I guess we'll go with that for now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next up is Tanya, followed by Wendy Thomas.
Hi there. I'm just listening in tonight.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. So then we've got Wendy Thomas, followed by two people who I don't have names and just phone numbers. So we'll get back to the final two people in a moment. Wendy, did you have anything you'd like to say to us?
Yes. I live at 721 East North Bend Way, and I'm in the LDR 1 area that you're considering for the rezone. And this area has been considered previously at least once, perhaps more than once. And I think there was a work study that was canceled with the Planning Commission or the council. This particular area, we moved here 30 years ago. And when we did, we bought the piece of property with the idea that at some point there would be a more dense and more commercial type use that eventually occurred in that area just because of its proximity to downtown and the transportation corridors that are on either side of that parcel, which basically were originally the I-90 freeway. I guess it was Highway 10 perhaps before that. The concern I have is I love living there, and it kind of makes me kind of wistful for not having to be excited about the vision that I had finally coming about, because I really like living there and I like the character of the place. But it does make sense for that area to be more dense. And my biggest concern is that it actually would be a waste to zone it medium density or high density for that matter. I think, and you'll see a letter that's included the last go round regarding this very idea that it would be a very important downtown block. And if you started to have subdivisions or smaller cottage type housing occurring in that area, that it would really preclude a more dense project there, which I think is much more suitable to that area because of the transportation corridor, because of the fact that it is not in the floodplain. So I would highly recommend that you do not rezone it medium density residential. If you're going to rezone it, it should be rezoned commercial just to preclude the types of development that would hinder a higher and better use for that piece of property. And so not only have I lived there for 30 years, but I also spent 11 years on the City of Snoqualmie's Economic Development Commission. And this was a constant conversation during our meetings about affordable housing and highest and best use of pieces, parcels, and all the things that planners are trying to come to terms with, and also the city residents. And growth never seems to be very popular with people once they arrive. It's okay. Hey, I'm here. You can shut the door now. But it is going to come our way. And the best we can do is to try and
Sorry to interrupt, but your 3 minutes is up. Can you wrap up your final thoughts, please?
Yes, that we have highest and best use, and I agree with the concerns that some people have in the flooding areas, that I think is I'm very concerned for my taxes.
Okay.
Even though it might be upzoned.
Thank you. Was that Tanya?
No.
What's your name?
My name is Wendy Thomas.
Wendy, okay, sorry. I was writing down people's names and I somehow missed somebody, so I was off by one. Okay, thank you very much, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I think Wendy was one of the two that was speaking over a phone. I just had a number for, so I'll just do it this way. Is there anybody who has not had a chance to speak that would like to speak? Can we get everybody? Okay. Given that, assuming it's appropriate now to close the public hearing, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
This is Commissioner Bulacco. I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Great. Is there a second?
This is Commissioner Bush. I second.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion to close the public hearing? Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. No one opposed. Thank you, everybody, for attending this virtual public hearing. I know it would be better if we were in person. Someday we'll be able to do that and see each other in person. You're welcome to stay on the call and listen to our discussion. And like I said, whenever we make our recommendation, which could be tonight or it could be in a future meeting, our recommendation does go to the City Council. So I encourage you all to stay involved, keep apprised as to what's going on, and keep involved. I guess so. That's twice. So I'll turn it back over to Mike. There were some questions maybe you can answer before we start our discussion, and then we'll have commissioners ask questions of staff.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I do want to preface this all with the fact that this is not a plan. There are no bulldozers waiting at your doorstep. We are inquiring with the neighborhood about this at this point. So I think we've heard very loud and clear from the Area 3 that you generally don't support this, and the Planning Commission will want to consider that. Just know this is not a plan that we're trying to ram down anybody's throat. It was an opportunity that we wanted to inquire about. So a couple questions that were raised. And again, I heard words of displacement. There's never a plan with displacement. The city doesn't do development. Only property owners develop their property. And so there would never be a situation where somebody would be forced out of their property for development to occur. Somebody had asked about the intent for larger areas, whether or not there would be lots for purchase. So again, it's not the city that does development. So in this case, it would be a property owner would sell their property, likely to a developer, to provide a subdivision of the land into lots for development. More often than not, that occurs in conjunction with a builder that's ready to come in and do a development project. So it's not often that somebody will subdivide or lots for sale individually. That's just not a land use pattern that happens very often anymore. There's nothing that the city has that would prohibit somebody from doing that. It's just not what happens in the marketplace. Other questions? How do we ensure that new structures are affordable with this proposal? And that's a very specific part of the proposal here. And without getting into how affordable housing, which is like rent control or specific non-market interventions, which is not what's proposed here. The key to it is the land cost and the unit size. Those are the two factors that we can control here that does affect directly affordability of the units. So the land costs, first of all, and I heard a comment that cottages aren't affordable, and that's true. And that's one of the very reasons that we're proposing this, proposing changing from the cottage residential zone into the medium density residential. So if you can have one building that has four units within it, that land cost is divided by four, and it's much more affordable. And that's the reason that these alternative typologies are proposed. They still offer the feel of a single family home, but at much less cost because the land cost is quite a bit less for its shared. The other part of it is controlling the unit size. So again, it's a dual purpose thing. We're trying to keep the scale of these buildings consistent with the feel of a single family neighborhood. But the other intent of that is for affordability. So what we don't want to see happen is some luxury townhome builder come in and build 2,500 square foot townhomes. That's great for the market that can afford those $1 million townhomes, but it's not great for that starter person just entering the housing market. And so most of these types that we have in the standards have a limit on the unit size. So that it ranges based on the type of the house, whether it's a townhome or an apartment or a duplex or whatnot. But they're generally on the smaller end, and that's intentional to preserve that affordability. Other questions? Pressure on growth on schools and roads. So that's a constant issue that everybody has to deal with. And we are tied in with the broader Puget Sound community, so we don't have the opportunity to just say we don't want to grow. We legally cannot do that either. We have to update our roads and our schools to accommodate that. The way that the city does that with schools is we collect school impact fees. So we collect a fee on each residential unit that's developed, and we turn that directly over to the school district. And the school district does planning based on the anticipated growth, based on our build-out capacities for their own school development. So that's not a city function, but we are contributing to it through that school impact fee that's proposed. For roads, we have what's called a concurrency test. So any development has to pass a concurrency test before it can be built, and that's a demonstration that there are services available. So that includes roads, stormwater, sewer, and stormwater sewer, and missing one of them. Anyway, it's the services have to be available. And for roads, for example, you have levels of service at intersections that are determined based on wait times and public safety. And if a development drops that level of service below an established threshold, it can't be approved. Or it has to provide mitigation to ensure that those levels of service are maintained. So that could be adding a traffic lane at an intersection, providing a street light, things like that that help to maintain those levels of service. We also collect transportation impact fees from new development, and those go to fund improvements on our transportation capital improvement plan to maintain those levels of service. So you've seen a lot of new roundabouts, and there's more planned within North Bend and other street improvements. We've got a planned bypass that will go past the Nintendo property that'll bypass our worst intersection, the Bendigo North Bend Way intersection. And so we're planning as development occurs to stay on top of things so that it doesn't become a congested mess. Other questions? I think those were the primary things. And again, I just want to stress that the Planning Commission really hears your comments, and we're not coming forward with a plan to change things without your consideration. And we really appreciate you being on here tonight and sharing the comments that you've provided. So Commissioner Greenberg, unless there's something that you recall that I maybe missed responding to, I'll turn it back to you and the Planning Commission.
Great, thank you. So commissioners, do you have any questions of staff?
There is one more thing I want to add about that levels of service and concurrency. So the wastewater treatment plant, I'm sure we'll hear this. You probably heard it in the community. So we are out of capacity at the moment for additional residential growth. We have remaining capacity for commercial growth. But what that means is that until our treatment plant is improved, we've got some planned improvements that are going to increase its capacity. No additional residential development is going to occur at this time. We expect that to occur in about 2 years. It takes about that long for those improvements to occur. And so this is not an immediate change. Any potential increase in density wouldn't be effective until those treatment plan improvements have occurred.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Commissioners, any questions of staff before we start our discussion? No, I can only see two commissioners, so both are shaking.
Can you see? No, you won't be able to see Commissioner Blanco because my phone is only scheduled. It just is doing the audio. I don't even ask me to push a button. So that's where I am. But, you know, I wanted to take a moment and thank all of our fellow citizens for their comments. We really need to hear from you, especially property owners who are directly affected by this proposed change. So I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to weigh in this particular situation. I agree with our chair that it would be a lot nicer to have everybody in front of each other, but it is what it is. So thank you very much for weighing in.
Thank you. I do see some hands being raised digitally by some of the folks who spoke at the hearing. So at this point, the hearing's closed, so we can't take any more comments. If you have questions, I would encourage you to contact Mr. McCarty at the city, and then he can answer the questions for you. Okay. Okay. Any commissioner questions? I didn't see any before, so I think we'll move on to deliberation at this point. So I know kind of the big elephant in the room is Area 3. And I think maybe what we should probably do is discuss that first, and maybe if we can come to a consensus. Maybe we'd even come to a motion, if that's appropriate, staff, to amend the proposal if we want to make a change to Area 3. So would any commissioner like to start us off on discussion and your thoughts about Area 3?
I want to thank everybody that came just in general to the meeting from the public. I feel like we've heard from people that live in Area 3 and they don't want this. And as representative of our community, I'm wondering if it would be appropriate to make a motion to just exclude it.
That would be an appropriate motion at this time if you'd like to, and we'll see if there's a second.
Yeah, I can do that.
No, go ahead, Heather. Go ahead. Oh, good. This is Commissioner Bush. I would also like to second, I think, removing Area 3, especially given the localized flooding in the area, and to have that on-the-ground perspective that may not be reflected in the flooding maps or FEMA maps is pretty effective. So I'd like to second that.
Commissioner Blanco, did you want to say anything before I make my motion?
I just had it written out the same, that there are three areas involved, and the residents of Property 3 have all commented that they are not interested in this, and the new zoning would increase the real estate tax burden on these families who really don't need this, and that we wouldn't be achieving any density. So I do support your motion on that.
Then I would like to make a motion to exclude Area 3 from recommendation to change the zone from LDR to MDR.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
This is Commissioner Bush, I second that motion.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. I agree with what's been said. Rarely have I seen in my career as a city planner and also being a commissioner where First of all, you normally don't have a very succinct kind of neighborhood. Usually it's a bit broader kind of flowing sort of neighborhood, but this one's very self-contained, and rarely have I seen so much, I'll say almost unanimity of people who live in the neighborhood about what they would like to have happen for their neighborhood. I also don't think at this point we need to do that kind of a rezone. I just don't see it being appropriate right now and would rather go with what the residents in the neighborhood would like, the city. So I will support the motion. Anybody else, any other commissioners want to add to your previous comments? Nope. Okay. Sounds good. All right. We have a motion to exclude Area 3 from paraphrasing, to exclude Area 3 from further consideration. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Anyone opposed? The motion passes unanimously. So again, that is our recommendation to the City Council. So residents of Area 3, I'd encourage you to keep apprised with the City Council. And does this go to Council Committee, Mike, first?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So there will be a Council Committee meeting and then City Council meeting, and they'll have their own protocols with whether they're going to do another hearing or accept written or oral comments and that kind of thing. So, again, thank you all for participating in that. Okay. Since we're talking about geographic areas, I thought maybe it would be best to continue discussion of the geographic areas. Does that make sense? And I think maybe one, I haven't heard a lot of opposition tonight or in writing to having the areas included in the proposal. So I'm thinking maybe what we should do is see if any commissioner would like to modify the proposal, just get your thoughts on whether any of the areas that are remaining, other than Area 3, should be removed or modified in some way, and then maybe go that direction and see if there's anything like that. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
It makes sense since we didn't hear a lot of opposition to moving areas one or two to put that in front of the council, city council, and see if they and let them make the final decision on that.
Okay, so you support leaving the other ones in the proposal?
Yeah.
Your audio was a bit crackly when you first started, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess.
Commissioner Moe, any thoughts?
I just want to clarify, our official recommendation is going to be to include the cottages, the current cottage zoned areas, no matter what, and then potentially areas one and two as well.
I'm looking at what's the remaining proposal from the staff, and do we support that? In terms of the geographic areas, I'm not talking about the design standards or zoning standards at this point.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Okay, Commissioner Blanco. Go ahead, Commissioner Moe.
I was going to say, I haven't heard a lot of opposition either for areas one and two, so I'm okay with it as is written.
Okay. And Commissioner Blanco, any thoughts?
No, I agree. I think that those would be fair to put those in there. Let's see how that goes with our city council, and we may get it back to have some revisions, but that's fine. So I'm good with the motion or proposal that we send them on.
Okay. All right. Mike, would you like a motion regarding the geographic areas, or should we wrap that up in the whole proposal?
Yeah, you could wrap it up in the whole proposal. It would otherwise be okay.
Scott, did you want to add anything?
Sorry. I'm used to just chairing the meeting as the chair. I agree. I think it's, if nothing else, it's worth sending this forward to the council to have them take a look at it. We did hear some, at least one comment about taking one of the areas and maybe adopting commercial zoning for it, but I think that's a discussion that I would like to have as part of the next part of this meeting where we start to talk about the zoning standards. I think that would be appropriate at that point if we want to discuss that. So,
okay. For the benefit of the commissioners and the public, Ms. Thomas had commented about specifically conversion to commercial. Right. That was something that was inquired at the council level when we introduced this about that area one, whether or not it could go to medium density or potentially commercial. And they're working on it, or the Planning Commission will be considering some other standards called a form-based code shortly. And there was a consideration of where the boundary of that form-based code area might be. The council at that initial direction, and this is certainly not their final determination, but in terms of what would be brought forward for the Planning Commission to consider, did not recommend that Area 1 to convert to the commercial area under the form-based code. And their response is probably primarily just driven by concerns that they've heard in the community about too much growth. And so it's possible that that could come back at a later time. And residents that live within that area could certainly submit a docket request, which is a request to change zoning or comprehensive plan designation for a property at any time.
Okay. Has the city done a SEPA checklist on this proposal yet?
Not yet. Okay. Yeah, we were waiting to hear the areas that would be included before we started the SEPA.
Okay. Shall we move on to the details, which is the proposed code amendments, commissioners? So earlier today, I had sent an email that Mike forwarded to you. I thought it would be best to make sure we literally are all on the same page. Mike had sent out two documents. One was a PDF document, which was sort of the final proposal from staff, what the chapter would look like with all the proposed changes included. And I had proposed looking at the Word document he sent out, which shows track changes. And I think that'll help us get more focused on which changes we're being asked to look at. And I will say it doesn't mean that we can't propose changes to existing parts of the code, but in my experience, I've seen things go really off the rails if we don't clearly understand what the city's asking us specifically to look at. So does that make sense?
Yes.
So if you're going to talk about if we're going to talk about some specific changes or questions you might have, what I would recommend is, do I even have it open? I'd recommend talking about the section number, maybe the page number on the Word document. I kind of hate to go page by page on this, but that might be the most efficient way of doing it. Is everybody okay with that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And I'm going to go pretty quickly, so if we need to come back, if I'm going too fast, we need to come back, we'll come back to something. Okay? All right. Okay. So we already talked about the Section 1, page 1, which is the amendments being considered. But let's talk about the three paragraphs down below the map. Anybody have any questions or changes on the proposed densities for those areas that are remaining in the proposal? Any thoughts on that? Okay, so we'll move on. If something comes up during our discussion, bring it up, please. Okay. Any comments on page 2? That looks like a fairly straightforward change. Okay. Hold on one second. I need to
change my screen here so I can see both all of your smiling faces as well as there, as well as my proposal in half point font. Okay, page 2. I don't think there are any, there's a couple of words proposed to change, or I think that's probably okay. Make sense?
Yep.
All right. Yep. Page 3. Page 4 is where we start to get into the changes to the cottage residential district to change that to medium density residential district. Any questions or comments on page 4?
Nope.
Okay. Sorry, I was looking at my notes too. Okay, moving on. Page 5. So this is the actual chapter, changing cottage residential to medium density. Anything on page 5? So I'm going to stop here and just take a quick poll. I'll ask each commissioner, like, where do you have your, do you have any changes, and on what page would your changes be? Rather than going through, maybe we're all okay with this. Commissioner Moe, what do you got?
I don't have any major changes I wanted to make. Okay. I had a clarifying question, but I can wait.
Okay, hold that for now. Commissioner Bush?
I also don't have any major changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioner Blanco?
I do not either have any major changes to make. So.
Okay. Well, this might be easier than I expected it would be. So, Commissioner Moe, did you want to ask a question?
Yeah. So, my question is more just for my general understanding of how some of this works. So, in the past, we've had. Okay. So, if I owned let's say an acre of property in one of these areas that was full of a bunch of trees, would I be allowed to go in and cut down all the trees, or do I still have to stick to the code that you have to leave the 20% and you have to leave native area? I read about the trees, but it didn't really address it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so regardless of what housing type, any development is going to be subject to our clearing and grading regulations, and we have tree preservation requirements within that. The 20% was an old standard. We now have a tree credit basis that developments have to retain a certain number of credits based on whether it's a residential development or commercial development, et cetera. And that's how we preserve trees.
Okay. And is there still, you have to leave X amount of native land, or is it different under this? Okay, it doesn't change that kind of stuff. Okay.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments about the proposal? Okay. All right. So are we ready for a motion?
Yes, I think we are.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion to recommend approval of these? It's probably a motion someplace I'm not seeing right now, but
I'm looking for it.
Me too.
Mike, is there a motion?
In the packet?
In the packet? Yeah, probably.
There is the, at the very end, there would be the Planning Commission recommendation, which you could convert into a motion.
Trying to get there. Oh, yeah.
The end of the Planning Commission staff report.
Yeah, page 13 on the PDF, on the staff report. Okay. So if someone can find that, then we can get that on the floor and see if there's any further discussion. Do you want me to, I found it, do you want me to read it and then someone can make the motion?
Yes.
So I want to make a clarifying note before you make that. We have not issued the SEPA determination yet. I don't believe that that's necessary for your recommendation. That will happen before the council makes their action required under CEPA rules. But that will be the next step in this process, would be to provide that CEPA determination and notify affected property owners of that determination accordingly.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. So on page 13 of the staff report, it says, based on the findings above, and well, here I'll skip to that part. Staff or it would be Planning Commission recommends approval of the draft regulations and amendments as provided in attached Exhibit A. And I would add as amended to eliminate Area 3.
Yes.
If someone wants to make that as a motion.
Do you want a second on it? Was that a motion? I'm sorry, did you make that?
Well,
a motion?
As chair, I'd prefer not to make the motion.
Okay.
As chair, are you able to give a guideline as to a well worded motion that I could write down?
Yeah, I would start with what I just said, or Mike, if you have any suggestions.
I would just suggest a motion to recommend approval of the amendments to establish the medium density residential zone, except to eliminate Area 3 from consideration.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed the Planning Commission recommendation graph. I didn't scroll down far enough, but that's fine.
Okay, I can try. I'd like to make a motion to recommend the approval to establish the MDR, except to eliminate Area Number 3 from recommendation. I'm also open if there's anything that we'd like to add to that motion.
Does that work for you, Mike, from a legal standpoint?
Yeah, have the record.
Okay.
For the amendment.
All right. Then
I'll put it in the packet.
Okay. Then I will ask if there's a second to that motion.
Commissioner Bulacco seconds that. Great motion.
Great. I appreciate that. Can't see you, but any discussion on that motion? I'll go ahead and say something on it. I'm going to support the motion. I think that this is a good, kind of middle ground for middle housing in the community. I think it will encourage construction of some affordable housing in various portions of the community that are appropriate for that affordable housing. And I actually hope that people do build the housing. Like Mike said, the city's not going to build the housing. We don't own the land, but all we can do is sort of make the encouragement that private property owners actually follow the plan and build the affordable housing per our code. So I'm in support of it. Okay. Anyone else? Good. All right. Motion has been made and seconded to recommend approval of the MDR proposal. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. I guess we're on to the very last part of our agenda here. Mike, do you have anything more for us before we adjourn?
I do not, and we were actually anticipating this carrying on to your December 10th meeting, so we may have a little bit of a break there. We're going to be picking up the proposed form-based code with you at the beginning of the year, but that may not be ready for you by December 10th, so we may have the month of December off. So stay tuned.
Sounds good. All right.
May I ask? Did we say we were going to have two meetings in December, a third and the 10th, that we would need that, or have we? Are we not of having needing the
kind no, of two we, meetings? No, we were working on our calendar, and the Department of Commerce gave us a bit of an extension on the grant requirements. And
oh,
so
great.
Because we have more time, we're planning to start that in January rather than
great. Okay.
So it's just the only meeting in December is December 10th.
Correct. If we wind up having.
Okay.
So it's, at this point, we don't have anything we anticipate bringing you for that meeting, so we may just cancel it.
Okay.
All right.
Because the other meeting would have been on Christmas.
Right. Yeah. We canceled the second meeting in December.
And then if there's something for. Well, December 10th, I guess the packet would get to us after Thanksgiving, so you'd have time to put that together for some item that you don't know of yet. So, okay. Thank you all. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we adjourn. All right. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No one opposed. This meeting is adjourned at 8:47 p.m. Thank you.
Nice job, Scott. Very nice
Thank
job.
You.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.